So we're back for podcast number 3, and we've got Joe Crosby Deakin here from Canine Solutions Dog Training and Behaviour. Thanks very much for coming along today to discuss with us some of the subjects that most new puppy owners have got on their mind, or most of the common topics that people will ask you questions about. I know you've got your own dog training and obedience school, but you go out and you offer advice to people, especially with new puppies. And in the past, you've helped me, Joe, when I rehomed a dog and I needed some advice from you. So the topic of our conversation this morning is, again, puppy related, but it's about puppy biting. So perhaps you can tell us, Joe, a little bit about what puppy biting is, why the dogs do it, and how you go out and advise people.
Well, play biting is totally normal for dogs. That's how they discover the world, is through their mouths. And depending on the dog will depend on the level of the biting. It seems a strange concept, but we actually need our puppies to bite. We need them to lay out their teeth on us so they can learn their bite inhibition as they grow. When you see puppies playing, from the day they're up on their feet, they're mouthing and pulling at each other, they're chewing on ears and feet. And that's how they learn how to bite and play as they get older, so they'll know the level of their bite. When we bring them home, they think we're just puppies. Our feet are the greatest toy because they move.
Yeah, so they see us as their litter mates.
Yes,
still.
Yeah, we're just a big game. So we have to change that from that perception to the older dog perception. Because as they get older, the older dogs don't allow them to mouth so much. And they'll tell them off if the biting's any harder. So we start off emulating puppies with a yelp. So if the teeth lay on us and they lay on us a bit hard, we yelp, we let out a high-pitched noise to interrupt the puppy, and then we get up and move away.
And that normally works, does it?
Usually works, depending on the dog. It's finding the right time.
Yeah.
But it's all about the timing as well.
Because don't those teeth hurt?
They're like needles. Yeah, it's exactly what they're designed for. So there's no chance of them not hurting. They've got them so that they do hurt, so that they can hurt their litter mates and make them cry, because then they know how hard to bite.
Yeah. So when you, so the next stage on from that, when you're sort of teaching them that, you know, that's too hard, you've used the yelp motion, you sort of said, yelp, yelp, that really hurts. So what do they normally do? Do they retract from what they're doing and stop and look?
They should stop. They should stop in their tracks and pause and look, and that gives you the chance to move away. But the problem most people have is they might let out the yelp, they let out whatever cry or noise they're using, but they move away the object that the puppy's biting, be it a hand or a foot. So the puppies just see that as a game then it's just a squeaky toy running across the floor.
Yeah.
The braveness comes when you have to stand still or keep the hand still. And that's really difficult for young children to do, which is why parents need to supervise puppies, even tiny puppies with children.
Yeah.
Because their instant reaction is to scream and run away.
Yeah.
But it's finding the tone that works for your puppy.
Yeah.
Some puppies will be a high pitched yelp, others it'll be a deeper voice. Some puppies you have to take it onto a full on growl.
So not shouting at them, no.
No is the first word that they learn to ignore, promptly followed by their name, because it's all they hear.
Right.
Puppy no, puppy no, puppy no. But they don't know what no what. What does it mean?
Yeah.
No.
So, it's finding that level that suits your puppy. And I can remember, because Woody's now 2, I can remember doing that with him. And actually, I thought that stage was never going to end.
Yes, it does feel like it's going on forever, but it's really not that long.
No.
And it should phase out. We don't want a puppy never to bite, otherwise they never learn the difference between our skin and fur.
No.
And they can bite another dog a lot harder than they can bite us.
Yeah. So would you also advise if they keep on mouthing to replace it with really toys that will, you know,
yes,
they can exercise.
Yes, if they're really mouthing, then you need to make sure they've got suitable toys. As the puppy is teething, they're going to be gnawing on things differently. So when the front teeth are going and they're just nipping it, they don't really notice that. But it's when the back teeth change, that's when they'll try and get your finger and push it to the back of their mouth.
Yeah.
That's when they'll chew your furniture and things like that. So it's having suitable toys. And my favourite toy is an old knotted rag soaked in water and frozen for a young puppy, because it acts as a teething ring, the same as you would give a child.
Yeah.
They want something soft but hard and cooling on their gums.
Yeah.
Replacing it with a toy.
Keep replacing it, then
yeah.
Once it sort of starts to melt and what have you, have another one in the.
Yes.
And that really helps with the.
It's very soothing on their gums. I mean, and again, with the bigger breeds, as their head breaks, usually about the 8-month mark, as everything's setting, the head breaks, you get a lump on the head, and the head and the jaw is taking on its final size and shape. Often people think they've finished their play biting and house chewing stage, and then the puppy will start again. So again, just break out the nutty rag, soak it, freeze it, and the puppies have a whale of a time.
So you don't need to spend a lot of money on toys.
No, you really don't.
Because toys, don't. When you go to some of the supermarkets or the pet shops that specialise, those toys can be really, really expensive.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just the old-fashioned things that work just the same.
Absolutely.
Your ragga toys and things like that, you can do the same with them. They're designed for the dogs to chew on and to rip apart. Bones, things like that. But the range of toys now for dogs is just amazing. You walk into the places, the big shops, and it's just row after row after row of toys.
Yeah, and expensive
and
toys.
And expensive toys, yes.
Yeah. So should you... I mean, in the past, Woody's had, and our other dogs, have picked up, like, old slippers and things like that, and we've allowed them to have that. Is that wrong?
That can be a conflicting thing for a dog. I would not give a young puppy one of my old slippers, but my older dogs have a slipper, an old slipper in their toy box, because they know the difference there. They know what's in their toy box is theirs, and what's on the side is mine.
Mm.
But with young puppies, you're conflicting, because you're giving them something that smells like all your other shoes. So it's a bit... They don't know what's... Is that my slipper or is that your slipper?
Yeah.
They don't know the difference. So,
yeah.
No, I'm not a big fan of giving shoes and slippers to young puppies as a chew toy, just because they've destroyed it.
Yeah, or even getting toys that look like a slipper.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, with a puppy, what sort of safety measures should you find? If you go into a store and you want to pay, because people do, they like to spoil
yes.
their dogs, don't they? What sort of toy would you advise people to go for that have got a puppy and they are destroying the toys and that? How would you distinguish whether a toy is a good toy and it's not going to break up, or it's a bad toy and it's going to break up and cause problems?
Obviously then you're looking at the price. I mean, you can't fault the Kong toys. I think they're a great invention.
That's Kong as in King Kong, K-O-N-G.
Yeah,
K-O-N-G. Yeah.
They're made by a company of animals, and there's a range of toys, and they're designed for... So you've got softer ones for puppies, so that they'll have some resistance, and then you go up to the big black toys that they're supposed to be chew resistant. Some dogs, some determined ball breeds will chew through them.
Yeah.
But you buy something that's suitable for that age range. The same as when you buy a toy for a baby.
Yeah.
You look at the age range for it. So if you look at something that's small enough that your dog can get the whole toy in its mouth, then it's too small for that dog.
Yeah.
Because you've got a choke hazard.
Yeah.
But it's just what's suitable, what you think suitable.
Yeah.
I mean, soft toys, I don't buy them for my dogs because they tend to destroy them.
Mm.
But now and again, I'll get them a soft toy from the charity shop, the same as I know you do for Woody, and I'll let them have a day ripping things up.
Mm.
But it's not something I do on a regular basis. But I wouldn't go into one of these big supermarket chains and buy one of the soft, fluffy, they do like duck things,
yeah.
don't they? Duck
yeah.
simulations and things like that. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
As a gun dog owner, my dogs will retrieve jump dummies and things wrapped in wings, but if I gave them a stuffed duck, they would just rip it to pieces
yeah.
like a toy.
Yeah. So summarising with puppy biting, it's quite normal that puppies bite.
Absolutely.
So don't think that's abnormal, but what you've got to teach is the behaviour between biting too hard, knowing that they've bitten too hard, making them understand that that's not acceptable by using a yelp or something similar that
yeah.
they would hear with their litter mates, and also giving them toys to exercise their teeth on and their jaws.
Yeah, most definitely. And also letting them play with the other puppies. Why be a chew toy yourself if you can take them to a class where they can chew another puppy?
Yeah.
It's the best way. Puppy socialisation is the easiest way of taking the pressure off at home from the biting, because they're learning there as well.
Yeah.
But it's the key to it is to let out your noise, whatever one works for your puppy. Keep everything still. Don't move away, don't pull away, because the puppy will think that's a game. And move away from the puppy, then come back in and offer them a toy to play with.
Yeah.
And it will phase out. You'll get less and less pressure on. They'll touch you by accident. They've got no spatial awareness. They're not... Their body doesn't belong to them, depending on the breed. That can be up to about 18 months old. So they might miss and grab you, but you want them to know the second they touch skin, they let off and they don't touch again.
Because I've actually got, one of my aunties has got a little poodle, and whenever he greets you, he puts his teeth very, very gently round your hand,
yeah.
as if to take you by the hand.
I've got a dog that does that to my mother.
It's just, it's really strange, because there's no real contact with your skin. It's so gentle. It's almost as if he's pulling you to hold your hand and pull you into the lounge
yeah.
or something.
And some dogs carry on doing that, as long as there's no pressure. Like I say, one of mine does that to my mother. She's the only person that she still does it to. But she comes in and she takes hold of her hand and leads her away. We call it third child syndrome because she was the third dog and it was the look at me. I'm here, Nanny, come and hold my hand, come and talk to me. And she literally, like you say, touches her so gently and leads her away from the other dogs over to say hello to her.
Yeah.
And that's not a problem for me. I don't have young children and it's the only person that she does it to. The concern you would have with a dog that continued doing that is if they do it to a young child, it could scare the child,
yeah,
and you don't want that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's just teaching the dog right from the right environment to do it in.
Yeah,
if it's a problem, then we need to phase it out. But if it's not a problem, then it's not a problem.
No, because one of the first things you'd hear a child say, if it did it however gently it would do it, it'd say, the dog's bit me.
Yeah.
And then it would alarm the parents, and then the child would probably think, oh, dogs bite like that,
yes,
etc.
Yeah.
I know you helped me once because I've actually been bitten by a dog and required hospital treatment. Partly was my fault. It was an incident that actually happened in the park, and it was an irresponsible dog owner had multiple dogs in the park, was walking around swigging cider whilst walking their dog. So, and my dogs were actually in the boot of my car. I was putting on my boots and getting the dogs out, and one of these dogs had uninvitedly jumped into my car. And my dog, which had a habit of being fairly aggressive with other dogs, actually leapt across. And in my haste to stop my dog biting this little Westie, I put my hand out and I got the full force,
yes,
of a dog's bite, and she meant it.
Yes.
And it meant hospital treatment for me, tetanus jabs, x-rays, the whole lot. And boy, did it hurt.
Yes,
and
you.
If that had been a child, I mean, Jo knows my story. I rehomed an Irish Kerry Blue, which was a very aggressive dog. Very, very aggressive dog. But I can vouch for that hurting.
Yes.
And I don't ever want to be at the biting end of a dog again.
No.
And certainly if that had been a child, without doubt, that would have caused serious injury.
Most bites happen to people when they're getting involved with their dog fighting with another one. My advice there is to leave them to it. Don't stick your hands in unless you've got a clear shot, because they're fighting dog on dog. Unless you've got a dog that you know has a very good bite inhibition, which we knew your Kerry Blue didn't.
Yes.
She'd laid teeth on people before,
yes,
so she wasn't going to distinguish between.
No.
But if my dogs are in a fight, I know that if my dogs touch my skin, they will let go, and they have done that before.
Mm.
But it's knowing the situation. Dog bites do hurt. There's no getting away from it.
No.
But it's teaching them. That's what we're doing from puppies. So if you had raised her from a puppy, as you have with Woody, if Woody was in that situation, he would know the difference between skin and fur.
Mm.
Thankfully, the only bite I have ever received was from one of my own dogs as a youngster when he first lost his temper, and my hand was caught in between him and another dog. And that's the only time. So he didn't know what was skin and what was fur.
Mm.
That was the only situation. But that's when most people get bitten, is when their dog is fighting.
Mm.
And if they're fighting, that's what they're designed to do.
Mm.
It's not nice, it's not pleasant, but be careful how you break it up. Carry a bottle of water with you, throw that over, throw a coat over, anything to break up the fight.
That's a good idea, because I think your natural reaction is to get involved,
yes,
and
yeah,
part them.
Yeah.
But when dogs are fighting,
it's so quick, so
yeah,
quick.
Yeah.
And the damage that a foot can do, a claw going through your arm, because the weight of a dog and the pressure on the muscles, the weight of that can rip your skin open, and the bruising just from a claw scratch can be as painful enough.
Yeah.
But a dog bite does top the scale.
I know. I can remember when it happened to me. I did end up black and blue,
yes,
as a result of it,
yeah,
and it really shocked me. Really,
yeah,
really shocked me.
But that was done in a moment of anger, and because she was an exception, because you didn't know her original history.
No.
We knew she had a bite problem. It was just losing her temper, which was what she'd done,
yeah,
quite regularly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you very much, Char. I think that's really been useful today to discuss puppy biting and the fact that it's quite normal. And yeah, so I think that's absolutely brilliant. And again, we might get some questions in, Joe, and if we do, we'll obviously forward them over to you. Have you got anything that you want to tell us that's coming up really in your world, in your dog world? I know you mentioned in one of the earlier podcasts that you have been working with the council.
Yes, we're hopefully bringing together a group with Southend Council to make the town more dog friendly. we've become very anti-dog, and I've been approached by a councillor to join a committee of how we can make the town more dog friendly. Because it's okay bringing in dog control orders, which they brought in, and I can appreciate that. We're a seaside town with some beautiful beaches. People don't always want their dogs around. But personally, having grown up in the town, I can remember my childhood being spent on the beach all day with the family dog.
Absolutely.
And I like to take my dogs everywhere with me.
Mm.
I don't like to leave them at home. They're my family. So we just want to find ways to make the town more dog friendly for everybody.
Yeah.
Those that like the dogs and want to be around them, and those that don't.
Yeah.
At the moment, the dogs are becoming too much of an issue. We have so many responsible dog owners in the town.
Yeah.
It's trying to work their way forward.
Well, that sounds like a really good venture, and we wish you every success with that. Wish you every success with your business. I know you're going out to visit some clients shortly who've got some questions that they want to ask about their pet specific. And thank you very much, Jo.
Thank you.
Thank you.